abuse, child death, child neglect, self-harm, and suicide. So, yeah, big content warnings. They'll be found in the description whenever we have them as well.
I'm connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web. Computer today.
Computer.
NetSurfer Pro.
I've been trying to get out of this Schnucks, which is a local grocery store chain, for the past 4 days. But all I see is endless rows and rows of freezer sections and busted CRTs. I might not make it.
Hey, don't give up on yourself. It's me, Cypher from Valorant. This is how I talk.
Oh no, I'm seeing things. Cypher from Valorant was real the whole time after being fake the whole time. What is this coming to? Am I real the whole time?
Hey, I mean, what really is reality, man? It's me, Cypher. I'm from a fake reality, but it could be a real reality, too.
Cypher, if you're really real, just tell me one thing.
Anything.
How do you unlock the can robot and custom robo for the GameCube? That's the only way I can get out of here.
Hey, well, you know, that's a pretty advanced technique. I don't know if you're ready for that.
Oh, wait. What's that out of my eye? Is that the Chef Boyardee? Is that... Wait a minute! That's the guy that gave me this game!
Hello, I am Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee, what did you give me this cursed custom robo-disc?
You have to remember Matt, the primary podcaster of the hit podcast series NetSurfer Pro. You have to think back to that day, 4.5 days ago. Wind chime sound effect, yeah. To denote, you know, a travel to the past. Matt.
Hey, what's up?
You wanna talk about a video game?
Yeah, but I'm really hungry, and there's, like, nothing in my fridge.
Yeah, and the only thing that I got to eat is, you know, a single cheese single.
Lucky for you.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, I could go for some pizza rolls.
Ooh, pizza rolls do sound good.
All right, let's just hop in this car real quick.
Man, your car sounds a little hoarse.
It's a good thing that we can take our podcasting equipment on the go.
Yes, of course. This is the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, but it's the NetSurfer Pro in a... you know, that doesn't really work in the same alliterative sense now that I think about it.
Yeah, NetSurfer Pro in a...
Porsche getting pizza rolls.
Hey!
All right, if that doesn't give us a free Porsche, I don't know what will.
Today's episode is sponsored by Porsche.
Today's episode is sponsored by Chef Porchardee.
Yeah, we got a mysterious letter from a man named Chef Porchardee. Could be a cipher. The like, you know, literary version, not the video game version. Right. I don't know what the video game version of Cipher from Valorant would have to do with any of this.
Yeah. He might be able to solve this, though. It does say art for swans is dope. I agree. Yes, I'm going to answer yes. All right, next question.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, no, hold on there, Porsche. Oh, no, we're headed towards a big orphanage. Oh, God, it's an orphanage for puppies. Oh, no, Matt, whatever you do, if I don't live through this, I need you to not do any podcasting without me. No,
you do realize that in continuity, you were at the grocery store with me. You've already broken continuity.
Well, no, that's the trick, is that I've actually been dead this whole time, secretly.
Oh! Sorry, we had to spoil that for you listeners.
But don't worry, we'll have to flash forward back to a Chef Boyardee revealing the truth about Matt's co-host at the end of this episode, of course, to tie up all loose ends.
Yes, we'll tie up every loose end, because that's important.
But... Speaking of loose ends, hey, it's the end of October.
Yeah, and it's Halloween.
It's All Hallows Eve.
Well, as of recording, it is All Hallows Eve. I guess Hallows Eve is the night of, actually, because it is an Eve.
So it's All Hallows Eve Eve.
It's, yes, it's All Hallows Eve Eve, which is, of course, roughly what, like 55 Eves away from Christmas Eve? So work that out however you want. I'm, of course, your host, Matt, and with me is...
Your co-host, Galen, who is dead or will be dead by the end of this episode? Unsure.
Yeah, and this is, of course, NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web, where we talk about weird things, such as our final episode of Spooky Month, yes. Where we've got something appropriately spooky.
Yes, and spooky is really the perfect word for this. It isn't exactly scary, and it's not a skeleton.
Yes.
Although the plot, it does certainly have a skeleton of a plot.
It also does send shivers down your spine. Oh wait, that might be my air conditioner. So yeah, we're talking about a little web series called Pets Cop, which ran between 2017 and 2019, and was created by Tony Dominico, aka @PressedYes on Twitter. Pets Cop is I actually had the pleasure of following it when it was ongoing. It had a lot of hiatuses throughout those like two to three years or so of time. But like if you watch it nowadays, it's actually, I don't want to say movie length, but it might be movie length if you add everything up. Maybe like 2 hours. It's roughly one Over the Garden the Walls look worth.
I think it's around three, so like 1.5-ish Over the Garden Walls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty spooky web series, and I think we're just gonna go into it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to talk about, and also a lot to cover from the videos. I'm gonna try to speed through it as much as I can.
Yes.
So, it all starts with a character named Paul, who is playing a PlayStation game called Pets Cop, an unreleased PlayStation game for the original PlayStation, and he's talking about how he found this game in his attic, and he... is making recordings of this game to sort of uncover some of the weird things he's found, and he's excited to show it to somebody who he's been talking to, who is coming home from college. He turns on the game, and controls this weird character, this little green dude with no arms. The fan base affectionately calls it Nall, which is short for New Maker Paul. More on that later, but he goes in and goes through like a little road and finds a sign that mentions how the game's not done yet. There's only a few pets to catch throughout the gift plane. And then he enters the first level, which is called Even Care. Then Even Care is sort of this series of rooms that are pink, blue, and white. He goes through them, finds these like 2D sprite characters that are the namesake pets. And each of them has a sort of puzzle in order to catch them, where you have to walk up to them and touch them, and then they go into, like, your inventory. Sort of a collectible. One of them, Amber, involves opening and closing cages, so that she bounces into a specific cage, and then you can, like, walk into her, or she bounces on top of you. One of them, Pen, is on a piano, and you have to adjust it so that these copies of the player character appear at the 7th key in front of the one you're on. One of them, or two of them, are Randis and Wavy, a flower and a cloud, and you have to catch the cloud in a bucket when it rains, and then you can pick up the flower afterwards. One of them is missing, which is a bird named Toneth, and then one of them is this weird, like, abomination almost. Yeah. Really spooked me out when I first saw it. It's like the head of the bird Toneth with like a long gray stem from Randis. And appropriately, it is called Roneth. And Roneth is seemingly impossible to catch. It runs away and flies up as soon as Paul gets to it. But he's like, okay, these are all the puzzles here. I am going to show you something else now. He mentions having a note that he found with the disc of the game that says, I went down the stairs, and instead of proceeding, I turned right and became Shadow Monster Man. And then it also says, for you, go to Roneth's room and press start, down, 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 right, start. He does that, enters that cheat code, and the music stops.
I want to also point out that we have a very minor case of lost media, which is to say, lost annotation.
Yes. Yeah, if I remember correctly, part of the video originally had an annotation
yeah.
for the note.
The note itself was like displayed in an annotation. I don't remember if he also reads it out, but like the annotation read the full note at the very least.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is just, I don't know, you insert a point about like preserving media and stuff like that, right? Yeah, here.
YouTube adding features and then taking them away, even though people use those features in creative means. You know, the same thing happened with the video responses in Ben Drowned.
Yeah.
That the structure of the series was kind of hard to archive because of that after the fact. So once the music stops, he leaves the Evencare level, and instead of appearing at the main sort of level select, he appears in this dark area, I guess, with like grass on the ground, a brick building around him, and everything else is completely dark. And this is what is known as the New Maker Plane. He walks around for a while, gets completely lost. He's like, all right, I'm going to cut it here until I find something. And then he finds something, a like cellar door. And he's like, okay, well, this isn't opening and my character doesn't have arms, so I can't open it. And so I am going to cut the video here.
Yeah, it should be noted that earlier there's a closed door in the Evencare, and when you walk up to it, it says, like, the door isn't locked. However, because you don't know how to open doors, you still can't open it.
Yeah. So, he cuts the video. Next video opens with the door itself opening, and he goes down these, like, cellar stairs to a underground connected series of rooms and tunnels that the fans have dubbed Odd Care as the opposite of Even Care. Inside, it's still very dark, very foggy, hard to see. The first thing he sees is a office room with a phone, and when he interacts with the phone, it says Care has left the room. Care being capitalized and yellow text. He leaves that room, goes down a hallway that has these pictures of different buildings. One of them is a school building, one of them's a house, and one of them is a windmill. He proceeds further and finds a sort of underground road with cars that pass by it, but whenever he stands in front of the cars, they don't seem to pass by at all, never gets hit by them. He comes to a crossroads, and he goes north, where he finds a gravestone with a face on it, and interacting with it reveals a name and two dates for a kid named Mike Hammond. And as Paul lovingly says, that's a dead kid.
Yep.
We probably should have put this earlier, but content warning, by the way, this series has themes related to child abuse and neglect and suicide. So, and self-harm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Big content warning. So, yeah. So, he reads that. He enters a shed and sees sort of a flower with a bunch of petals. And interacting with it, plucks the petals from the flower one at a time. And the screen alternates from, like, black to red to black to red. He stops after a few petals have been... petals have been plucked. Like Peter Piper. And he goes outside the shed, down another cellar door that leads below the shed, and sees a girl who is crying. And so he goes back up, he interacts with the flower a few more times until all the petals have been plucked, then the screen turns completely red, or like with a red tint. Goes back down, the girl's face is all distorted and creepy.
Yeah.
And gross.
I want to specifically point out that I don't know if this is a spoiler warning necessarily. This is like the most directly, like, this is the closest thing, I guess, to a jump scare in this series. Like, this is the distorted girl's face is like the most, like, overt sort of creepypasta-esque thing. As far as, like, just sort of raw scare factor of what is, like, on screen.
Yeah. I will say there are a few other things that were startling to me, at least.
Yes.
One of which I think is in this episode, but a bit later. So, he leaves the shed, he goes past it through sort of a doorway, and goes to the left where he enters a building that has this, like, weird animation playing on the front of it.
Inside the building, he sees this cello-shaped object, and interacting with it pulls up a, like, question prompt where he can enter text to ask a question. He asks things like, what year is it? Who are you? He soon learns that it is called Tool, and it wants him to watch the windmill. Behind Tool is this, screen on the wall that Paul could interact with to watch just the windmill spinning. He interacts with Tool again, and the text box suddenly turns pink. And I don't remember the question he asks it, but it replies, turn off PlayStation now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tool, randomly also turns pink as well.
Exactly. After this, Tool is pink for a while. Asks a few more questions. I think at this point he asks it, I don't remember exactly, but so
if I remember correctly, he asks why in regards to turn off PlayStation now, and it says,
Marvin hurt Tool when PlayStation on?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. He leaves the room and enters another room with these two doors leading into it, and in this room is some furniture and a mirror in the middle, and on the floor it says Quitter's Room. On the other side of the mirror is another player character with a different head. This one's, white and has some, what looks like hair and eyelashes.
Yeah, it's like a crude drawing of, presumably a girl's face, because I think it has, eyelashes and the slightly long bob cut.
Right. There is, one of the things that was startling was a distorted version of this face is one of the loading screens. The game has a few different loading screens, game, quote-unquote, that it shows during, places you would think to see a loading screen. In the one with the distorted version of this character's face only appears once.
I don't think I even noticed that. Also, like you said, game, quote-unquote, we should probably explain very briefly.
Right.
Petscop is not a real game that exists.
Right.
Petscop, there is a fan recreation of what we see in the web series, but Petscop, as a literal game, only exists within this series.
Right. Petscop, the creator Tony, has confirmed that there will never be an official playable Petscop.
Yeah.
So when we say game, it is all the, game within the fiction of Petscop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I guess I will say this now while you're listening, but there are no extra ARG elements. We'll expand on that further, but I just want to get that out of the way. So in the Quitter's Room, on the back side of the wall, there is a note that reads, "Do you remember being born?" But in reverse. He then walks behind a bookcase in that room, and a weird sound plays, kind of a three-note melody. And the character on the other side starts moving on their own. And he is, really surprised by this. But after a little bit of time has passed, the character kind of recorrects itself, and it's doing the opposite of Paul. So Paul leaves this Quitter's Room, heads to the right, and goes up a staircase that exits the odd care area and back to just the flat Newmaker plane. And that's where this video ends. In the next video, he mentions that he forgot to check another crossroads or another path in the crossroad. Doing this and following this direction, he passes by some words that say good grief and alas. He finds a building where on the outside it has this deposit slot that rotates. And on the inside it has a canvas, a blank canvas. And interacting with it, he can put in facial details, specifically eyes and nose and eyebrows. And when he does this, it spends some time rumbling the building for a long time, and then he's able to enter a bedroom that seems to be procedurally generated some way. But he realizes that the faces he can enter are the same as the faces he's seen on the gravestone in the buildings. So he tries out a few of them. He tries out the one on Mike's grave. He tries out the one on the building with care. One of the rooms has this long text that mentions, care not growing eyebrows, and Marvin saying, "That's a puzzle," and Marvin just being a freak.
Yeah.
Also something about, like, she'll emerge from the door to my left. She'll emerge limping and I'll shoot her. Some really weird text.
Yeah. The Marvin text, it should also be noted, is green.
Yes.
One of the interesting things is that a lot of the text is color-coded to based on, like, both who is talking and, like, how someone is, like, how the game is talking to them sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, that's one of those details. That's one of those, like, rewatching it makes you go, oh, details.
Yeah. So green is pretty much everything related to or said by Marvin, and his name appears in green. So he tries Care's room with Mike's eyebrows, and this leads him to, I believe this is, there's something on the table that has a black box put over it, clearly in post, and at the end of the video, it mentions that there are a few things that have had to been censored out on behest of the family, being vague on who the family is. And that was one of them. The other ones were something emerging from a gift, something drawn on a black wall in a house, and something written on a chalkboard. These are most likely things that are personal to the family in some way. At one point, some, like, GPS coordinates are also shown, but not shown to the viewers, because they were censored out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting theories about what they would be as the series was progressing, but we'll talk about that later. Just keep that in mind. In a later video, Paul heads outside the odd plane, or odd care into the new maker plane. He finds where the windmill was supposed to be, and sees that there's, like, a camera, like a periscope pointing to it. But the windmill's not there. It's just this, like, hexagon on the ground. He goes back to Tool, and he starts talking to it. I think he asked, do you remember being born? He also asks, who is Tiara? Because that's a name that came up. Tiara is always printed in pink. I think he just kind of leaves Tool alone for after that.
I think Tiara is purple, generally.
One or the other.
Yeah, it's a pink or a purple. There isn't, like, a separate pink character, so...
There is.
Oh, there is?
Tiara's pink, there's another character that's purple.
Oh.
We'll get to them later, though.
So they were, like, blue. Anyway.
It might be. So during this time, I don't remember the exact order of the videos for the early ones, but there is a point where the windmill... It's like a video that opens with just the windmill rotating, and then a shadowy character appears from behind the windmill, runs up to the camera, and kind of turns the camera around, and then they start, like, loading in textures almost at will. They load in these, like, toy block textures that spell out, where is my house, and where is the school, and I will follow. And he also loads textures from the house and the building for the school. He also summons Toneth the bird. So after this happens, there's also this, like, weird pink splash screen with this black circle on it. That was one that freaked me out a lot.
Yeah.
After this happens, Paul, I think, asks those questions to Tool. And he also asks, where is the windmill? And it says, like, you can't turn back time. And then he asks, where was the windmill? And some coordinates appear, and those get censored. But he goes back up to the New Maker plane, and the windmill's still gone, even though he could see it before. And the camera is turned around, and it's colored red. But he is able to catch Toneth, the previously unobtainable character, the pet. Unobtainable pet. So, during this point, or around this point, another character appears and, like, starts to walk in circles around Paul. This character has this green sort of emerald-like head, and I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say who they are.
Yeah, I don't know if it's obvious at first, but this character is Marvin.
Yes.
I mean, this entire sort of explanation is a spoiler, to be fair.
Yeah. So Marvin starts walking in circles and starts running back towards Odd Care. Paul follows, goes underground, and follows Marvin all the way to the pictures of the buildings. And, you know, Marvin, like, walks in a circle around one of them, then moves on, walks in a circle around another, mainly the school and the house. And then as Marvin is, like, trying to leave, he hugs the left wall as if he was trying to pass through a doorway or something, and then disappears. And Paul is like, oh, that was weird. But after this, Paul learns a trick, which is that in the stairs that lead to Care's, like, shed, the shed she was in, instead of going into the room, there's enough space where you could walk to the right and walk outside of the shed, but with, like, a completely black character sprite. And walking downward seemed to get rid of this effect, but he was able to walk forwards and through the next loading zone. And again, he could walk through another loading zone, and he was able to exit Odd Care as the shadowy figure.
Eagle-eared viewers will note that this is, you know, directly harkening back to the notes at the beginning. Yes. At, like, the first episode.
He instead of proceeding, he turned to the right and became Shadow Monster Man.
Yeah.
He goes to the windmill, and the windmill is there this time. Not only that, he enters it, and there is some weird stuff going on. There is a white tool, there is a face on a canvas, and then there is, like, this girl image?
Yeah.
Like, it's a 3D model of a character or a figure? Kind of makes me think of, like, a figure pose mannequin.
Yeah.
Like an artist mannequin.
It's, and, like, not only that, the girl mannequin something is, like, bound, I think, along with a bunch of other bits.
Yeah, so over the course of the videos, Paul has been collecting these little bits and bobs, collectively known as pieces.
Yeah, they're basically your coins in the game.
Yeah, and yeah, the girl is, like, lodged between these gears in the windmill alongside the pieces. I did want to note, I forgot to mention this earlier, but during the footage of just the windmill, before Marvin shows up, the windmill starts turning the opposite direction, which is kind of important.
Yeah.
So he interacts with the white tool in the room, and it starts to, like, float up and point towards the girl caught in the gears, and the screen goes white, and then when it comes back, the girl is gone and the pieces are all collected. Kind of seems like it might have stabbed the girl in some way. Weird to say. Not hard to say, but weird to say. After this, though, he goes back to the building from before where he could enter faces and enters that girl's face, in which he receives a comment from the game that's like, you found her. She is not currently here, but you may visit her room. Inside that room, there's another note, but when he first enters it, there is another, like, copy of the player character with the same head as his, reading it, that then leaves the room and goes straight. And when he finishes reading the note, he follows that exact same pattern, with, like, you know, down to a T. If he were to play both parts of the video at the same time, it would be identical.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these synchronicities like that. When he's done, he leaves through that open doorway, and he finds a birthday party scene in this, like, gray landscape. Like, as if it's even more gray and dark than the rest of the Newmaker plane. He opens a present and some giant spinning pyramid comes out, which most of it is censored. You can barely make out that it's a pyramid before it gets censored, though.
Yeah.
There's a picture of, like, some windmills or some, like, pinwheels. And he collects a bunch of bits. And then he goes into a sort of room off to the side, like a little building. And inside that is a present. And he opens the present, and the game resets. It transports him back to the Newmaker. Is it the... Right, it transports him to the building where he entered the Newmaker plane from. If you remember, when he left Evencare, he came out of a brick building. The present transports him back there, except there's like this white block above the brick building with a symbol on it. Paul leaves, goes back to Evencare, and he walks around a bit. He goes to Penn's room, which has this treadmill, and he sets it to -1 instead of 7. When he does this, the game crashes. He reloads and returns to Odd Care. He enters the shed where Care was, Care the girl, and she is crying, but she is no longer distorted and messed up.
Yeah, she's not like the glitched Care.
Yeah, he catches her, really, you know, sus wording now.
Yeah, now that we're talking directly about a
human child.
Yeah, it pops up caught, and it's like,
Yeah, it should be noted that the caught is a reference to the video game Moon, a remix RPG. It only recently got an English translation officially, but it was sort of a cult hit for a while.
Yeah.
It's like a one-for-one, almost, from the game. So after catching Care, he opens the menu and finds that there's another page, and this page has three slots. There's three slots for Care, essentially. And previously, in, like, episode 2, there was a note that showed, like, A, B, and NLM, with all different faces of Care. And I believe this one had given him Care NLM.
Yes.
He goes back to Evencare and opens up both of Amber's cages. He then returns to the quitter's room and can enter the left side of the room. And when he does so, there's another sort of block with a symbol on it. There is a video in episode 11, I believe. He walks around the Newmaker plane a bunch, and he's like, all right, I just got to do this, and move here, and then this should. And then, like, a text prompt appears. He closes out of the text prompt, and then another one comes out, and he asks, like, where is the house or something? And a tire pops out of the ground, and it starts spinning in a direction, like, towards a direction. And so he walks that direction and finds the house, which is a green building, and the door's not open when he gets there. But this is part of what I call Act 2 or Arc 2. I feel like there's pretty well-defined arcs based on when the episodes actually came out, and this is essentially the start of Arc 2. So up to this point, I want to bring up one motif, which is the Daisy Head Maisie motif. This was only really important during the first arc, the, like, Care arc, as I call it. Everything until he catches Care. But so, this was a Dr. Seuss book about a character who has a flower growing from her head, and everybody makes fun of her because it's weird and different. And so at the end of it, she does the, like, she loves me not type thing, but, like, everybody loves me, nobody loves me. And in the Dr. Seuss book, the last petal she plucks is the one for everybody loves me, or something like that.
Yeah.
But in Pets Cop, if you were to follow that with Care, so Care NLM, nobody loves me, the good grief in a last text was also a saying that the character in Daisy Head Maisie says, the eponymous Maisie, new rap name. But, and then, so when Paul plucks every other petal, the screen flashes red. And so it's sort of implied that that is Care's personal, like, you know, version of that. The loves me not, but the red is the nobody loves me. Which is why when there's no more petals and it's completely red, it's like this despaired version of Care.
Yeah.
The flower might not be completely literal, but there is something that kind of visually relates to that later on, which I kind of want to save for now.
Yeah.
Because it's one of, like, the last things you find.
Now, I do also want to bring up what probably is the most controversial thing about Pets Cop. So, Pets, a lot of the themes of Pets Cop, and some of the names of Pets Cop, including Newmaker, is directly related to the story of Candace Newmaker. Big trigger warning to, once again, reiterate, because this involves actual real-life tragedy. Candace Newmaker was a adopted child by the Newmaker family. And in attempting to, quote-unquote, cure her emotional detachment disorder, I think is the name of it, they took her to a therapy, an unproven, unscientific therapy called rebirthing therapy.
Yeah.
Or at least the incident was directly related to the rebirthing therapy, where, it's supposed to simulate your birth, but the end result was, four different adults, pushing down on her, and Candace Newmaker did not survive the procedure.
Yes.
So,
Petscop makes multiple references to rebirthing, and, you know, with the name Newmaker, people in the fan base kind of found this out fairly quickly, and, yeah, it is pretty controversial as far as, it's not really depicted. It is alluded to a lot. I think, so some people thought that it was solely about this, but also some people were some people thought it was a, story from somebody who knew Candace Newmaker, or...
Yeah.
Basically, people had a lot of theories about a real-life tragic event, which is not the best way to go for a web series like this.
Yeah, so I don't have a hot take on this, but I do sort of it is something I think about in terms of, the creator has said, confirmed that, that was inspiration, and, he regrets basically, he regrets sort of using what he did from the tragedy, but I also don't know, okay, so to put a parallel to this, let's talk very briefly about Y2K.
Mm-hmm. Game or the event?
Well, both are equally tragic. Yik. Is directly influenced by the creator has said that an influence of it was the sort of internet zeitgeist around a woman's disappearance and eventual death. And it drew directly on those experiences. And that's not... I think that my general take is being influenced by and even alluding to tragedies is not terrible inherently. But I think that there's a big difference between Yik and Petscop in that Petscop is influenced by and makes allusions to, but is not about the tragedy. Whereas Yik, if I remember correctly, literally has that character.
Well, Yik also has this, savior complex of, I wish I could have done something to stop her, to save her. Whereas Petscop is more about highlighting it as, a more of an awareness sort of deal.
Yeah.
Petscop is definitely something that wants to make you aware of the faults in the current systems related to childcare. And so I understand it being an illusion because of that. Certainly I think tons of people who wouldn't have otherwise known about it know about it now. I do think, though, it would have helped either to, I think, have, a better release schedule to make it clear that it was not solely about this case. In that, that case was part of a greater whole in terms of inspirations and themes. Because for kind of a long time, before 11, where the house shows up, there was a break between those videos. Pretty much everything, after he catches Care. And it really gave the community time to kind of fester on what videos already existed. And it didn't help that most of the game theory video, as in game theory, for the first one was about that connection.
Yeah.
That it kind of gave people this feeling of we already solved Petscop, it's about this. But also some people thought that because Pet's Cop is about this, there must be some other mystery we have to uncover. Yeah, it was kind of a mess.
Yeah. It
web series fan bases are prone to what I call Reddit moments, which are when they try to detectivize things they don't really are able to or understand.
Yeah. I do also want to draw a parallel between this and Ben Drowned, the third arc, the Awakening arc, whereby parts of it literally had to be delayed because, like, they were hitting too close to home in terms of, like, you know, actual riots of injustice. I feel like this is also a different scenario between that, in that, like, there is a difference between, like, alluding to a great national tragedy of the past and a great national tragedy of the current.
Right.
You know, I feel like alluding to the Chicago riots, for example, would be much more different than alluding to, like, current riots over, like, you know, and a current shooting.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, if you're out there and you're thinking of starting your own web series type thing, just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Basically, keep in mind that the creator of Pet's Cop, like, regrets kind of having used that. But I also do think I think it is a good point of criticism. I do not think it is, like, we're not canceling at Crest Yes on Twitter.
Sure, yes.
So back to plot, okay, though.
So, house. Paul walks around the house. I forgot to mention that during the birthday party scene, he got a green key that hovered over his head. The green key opened the house. Inside, there was a bunch of different scenes of, like, different characters appearing and disappearing. A sign outside mentions that the house was frozen and captured three different times. So these are those three different times. There's, like, a Christmas tree. There's a TV. He walks around the house a bit, checks out a calendar where some of the dates on it are green. It starts out kind of checkerboarded and then a huge patch of green. And then, like, green only on the weekends, and then no green. He mentions at this point that he was talking to, or is talking to, the friend he was talking to or about in the first few episodes. And he's saying that, like, he's talking about a girl that he knows should exist, but he's never seen, has never interacted with, doesn't remember her being there. Probably talking about Care. Paul walks into the bathroom, and there's this weird bit where it zooms in on the TV, and he says that was an experience.
Yeah. It's very PS1.
Yeah.
Like, it literally looks like a pre-rendered cutscene. The production is extremely good of Pet's Cop, by the way.
Right. It's very accurate. You could tell a lot of work was put into replicating visual bugs and glitches. People thought he actually used a demo, like a dev cart for PS1 or a dev console.
Yeah.
But he didn't. It was made in, like, Unity. So he enters the bathroom, does that thing. There's another white block on the bathtub. And when he tries to enter the bathtub using a little ramp, the game resets. The next video there is a demo of a car driving. This might be the first example of a demo where the word demo flashes above the screen in sort of purplish text. This appears a lot in the future. While the car is driving during this demo, there's a clock that rotates. The first, you know, the hands move, but then when it's about to reach the 12 mark, the clock rotates backwards, like the face of it, while the hands stay in place. Another demo sees Marvin, who appears and starts talking using a sort of input to alphabet system. It's not exactly one-for-one inputs to alphabet. It's like phonetic sounds or something. Fans have actually been able to decode it for the most part, which is interesting. But I do not remember the exact specifics. So Paul tries to type the phrase Marvin, but the game doesn't let him. It says not in table, just didn't code in the name Marvin. Marvin takes Paul to the school, which is first person-ish. There's, like, an overlay that looks like the new maker Nal character at the bottom and like some brick, but when he turns it disappears. And it's just, yeah, it's like a Doom, you know.
Yeah.
It's a first person romp through a school.
It literally looks like there's an overlay of first person walking, but like when you turn at certain angles very frequently, like the overlay clips behind the actual model of the school. And so like it's wonderfully disorienting.
Yeah. He finds a locker with a lock on it, a like rotating combination lock, but he can't figure out how to open it, so he leaves. Back in the house, he enters a bedroom and sees Care on a bed. Care seems to be frozen from the air conditioner, and there's like some notes of music playing every now and then. Paul leaves and goes outside, mentions that he could try to go through the window, but there's no way to do so as he can't climb in. So he goes back inside into the bedroom, and he enters the closet, but the closet door closes, trapping him. Yeah. And he's like, oh, that's just great. That's great. Very funny game. After some time, Marvin enters the room, knocks over the AC, jumps on the bed, and grabs Care. He enters through the window. He grabs Care, runs out the door, and an alarm plays that says Care has left the room. Afterwards, though, the room resets to normal with Care there anyways. Paul goes outside and uses the ladder that Marvin used to catch Care. I believe this one's Care B.
This one is Care A.
Okay, yeah. Back in the school, Marvin gives Paul the Needles piano. This is a, like, pyramid that Paul holds in his hand, and pressing different buttons plays notes. The notes appear on a chalkboard behind him. And Paul is bad at it. At some point, Marvin says, like, somebody tripped and fell. And that Marvin also says Tiara was bad at the piano. The Needles piano. So Pets Cop 12 is really interesting now. Because this gets a new character. So this person leaves the quitter's room. And they start walking out. They see, for a very brief moment, another player character with a red pyramid-shaped head. And so they like run into them, but then that character disappears. The player character continues and leaves, and there's a message that appears that says, "You're free! Hooray! I have some more messages for you. It looks like you've been running the game for however many hours."
Yeah, it's like 155,000 hours.
It calculates to 17 and a half years. The game says that this person is Belle, and that Belle isn't part of the family. They were going to go through a process to become part of the family and become Tiara, but the process failed prematurely. It says that they put Belle in the machine and played Stravinsky's Septet's second movement. But it was played wrong, and so they're not Tiara, they're Belle. It's this text is in white, which normally is just game text, but also it's implied to be the text of the person who made Pets Cop, Rainer, Daniel Rainer Newmaker, Hammond is his full name.
He's known as Rainer Newmaker in Pets Cop, but I think his real name is Daniel Hammond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A
lot of characters have multiple names.
Yes. In the next video, we see Paul and he is moving a paint bucket from the house to the road outside. And we see him push it past this archway where we find a blue tool that's moving away from him and then it flies upward. He puts the bucket underneath the tool and he walks backwards and the tool falls into it, becoming gray. He picks it up and brings it inside the house, which disables the alarm in front of Care's room. He then cuts to Randis's room, where he's like, hey, there's this bucket in here that I used to catch Wavy, but I can actually use this to push it outside of this room and into Roneth's room, because Roneth moved in the same direction and manner as the blue tool. So he does that, and he's able to catch Roneth. And all the pets, by the way, have a description that's, like, slightly ominous and weird. For the most part, most of them aren't super important. They're all just kind of unsettling. There's a lot of, like, personification of the pets in, like, mixing up, like, pets and people.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. There's also a sign in, I think, the first episode where it briefly says, like, child, but then it replaces itself to pet. When it's like, when choosing a pet, make sure to do something, something or other.
Yeah, one of the best lines from one of those signs is like, you don't have to love them right away.
Yeah.
Which is very, like, very on the nose.
Yeah.
I love it.
There is, there's a bit where Paul realizes what the demo mode is doing. That the demo mode is replaying inputs that are performed normally during gameplay. But also, some things during the demo mode are different than normal. In that, like, he noticed, like, during the demo at some point, there's a building there or a structure that's not normal. So he does this, he experiments this by going through a closed door in the house, where during the demo file, the door is open, but in the normal gameplay, it's closed. So he, like, holds down to enter it, and then he holds right to go to the right, and then up, and then he starts interacting with something. There's a great bit where he's like, I bet I'm being real productive now. I bet there's some real cryptic text showing up that I'm just going to skip through because nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
And like, you can see overlaid the what he's actually doing. And he's like opening and closing a picture of a CD case.
Yeah.
Paul is really funny.
Yeah. Paul, it has to be commended that like Paul is a really good character, a really good vehicle for this series.
He's pretty good at puzzle solving. In fact, I would say one of the smartest web series protagonists.
Yeah. Shout outs to my homie Matt for having like one of the I think the highest rated comment on one of the Petscops. The one where he catches Randus in the bucket, basically saying like, wait, did he actually figure out through context a puzzle solution and then go back to solve a previous puzzle?
Yeah.
Holy shit, Paul is actually, like, a smart protagonist for this.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, he's also, he plays the part of, like, somebody doing a Let's Play really well. So he does this, and eventually he finds out that he can push the bucket from the house, the paint bucket, into the bedroom in demo mode. And doing so, he's able to paint the wall. In demo mode, the back wall is, I believe it starts green, and then he paints over it to be black. Or it starts black and he paints over it to be green.
It is green and he paints over it to be black.
Right. And there's something censored on the wall.
Yeah. The like important thing that he's painting over is censored.
Yeah. But doing so gives him a gray key. But then the game crashes, and his play file, or his file, is replaced with one that says strange situation. He pulls it up, and we learn that it is Care's birthday party. He goes inside the house, and there's somebody asking, you know, oh, do you want some cake? Stuff like that. And then he's walking towards the bedroom, and suddenly, like, bumps into something. And a message box appears asking why Care ran into a closed door.
Yeah, he walks through the door that is now open in his playthrough.
Yeah.
But when he walks through it, the text box pops up and it's like, oh, sweetie, you just bumped into, you know, a door. Should be noted, this text is blue. And I think this is the first instance of blue text.
Yes. I also wanted to mention, Belle's name was a darker purple than Tiara's.
Yes.
So that was the purple I mentioned.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so he goes into the bedroom now, and he interacts with the like pictures of CDs again, but they're all darkened out. But then he closes it, and another text box appears where the blue text is normal, but the yellow text is saying things like, where are the discovery pages? Where's the disc? And Jill, stop fucking ignoring me.
Yeah.
And this is weird because it is a message that happened in 2017 that Paul said to a relative of his. And the game having been made in like 1999 should not have that message.
Yeah.
And it's in yellow text, so it's implied that Care said that. This is really, this is like a kind of super linchpin moment that I think we might have to go into a bit more later.
Yeah, this is an unpack moment.
Yeah. In 14, he reads a windmill that's in the bedroom where that censored thing was. This introduces the door riddle. Two pictures of a door. In one of them, the door's open. In another one, the door's closed. Or no, it's in the first one, the door's closed. In the second one, the door's open. The door was never opened. It was never touched by anybody. And it is the exact same door. How did this happen? There's some answers to that work. But keep in mind that this is sort of a theme that will start to appear even more and more. But it already has. You could probably think of how that's connected to what's happened.
Hey, this is post-production Matt with a bit of an ending here. Sorry for the abrupt ending in that conversation, but we had to split this into two parts because it was very long. We get a lot more into the themes in the next one, so don't worry about that. But for now, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at NetSurferPro, where we tweet out teasers onto our upcoming episodes. Fun little emoji puzzles to figure out. Kind of a little newspaper puzzle type deal. Except I feel like that kind of sounds boring now that I say it. You can also follow us and comment and rate us on any podcasting platform you like. You know, give us a rating, give us a review, let us know how we're doing. Let us know what topics you'd like to see next. Always interested to hear back from listeners. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Craig Gaming, where I talk about my hot takes, my tepid takes, my I tweet about, you know, new projects I'm working on. I've got some new mashups coming soon, probably in the works. They're in the works. Yeah, they're in the works. And then you can also check out when I go live on twitch.tv/twack, twitch.tv/twak, where I stream on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday Central Time, about 1 p.m. to 3 or 4 p.m. Central Time. I stream stealth games, single-player games, competitive games, fighting games. Whenever Rivals of Aether gets a stable rollback build, I'll play that, but there's been some visual bugs with it that make it unlikely to be streamed anytime soon. But if that sounds interesting, check that out. It's always a great time. You can also, since Galen's not here, you can also follow him at Galen Wilson on Twitter and TikTok. That's GalenWilson0n. And you can follow him at The Only Galen on YouTube. He may or may not do something in the future. And you can follow him at Machine Gun Vampire on Twitch. So with that being said, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next episode for the conclusion of the Pets Cop episode. Yay.